Grab your Bibles, I invite you to turn to Romans chapter 10. My mind is still kind of on the theme we've been on for the last couple of weeks, and that is some of what we've looked at in the effectual call, or the new birth, being born again by the Holy Spirit, and then also looking at the gospel call. And we've looked at a lot of ways in which those things are different. The effectual call always works. It's always effective. It always brings a dead alien sinner into life in Christ. It is done totally and completely by the power of God, and man is passive. The gospel call, however, is something that also takes the power of God. It's also a miraculous thing, but man is involved, both in the preaching of the gospel and in the hearing of the gospel. I'd like to begin in Romans chapter 10 and don't want to spend all of our time there today, but would like to begin there. The Apostle Paul, in writing to the church at Rome, said, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." The Apostle Paul had a soft place in his heart for his own countrymen, for Israel. And he said, "My heart's desire." He said, "My prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." I can't hear this verse without thinking back to the ordination of Brother Obey. Brother Obey was from Africa. He had gone to Vestavia Primitive Baptist Church and had felt the call to preach. And I never actually met him, nor was I at his ordination. But I looked at his ordination by video later as it was recorded. And I'll never forget a question that they asked Brother Obey. They asked him, "What would you say if somebody asked you, are you saved? What would your response be?" And he had a very deep, booming voice. He spoke far better English as an African than I do as an American. And he said, "I would say, saved from what?" That's a very good answer. Saved from what? There's places in the Bible where our eternal salvation is certainly discussed. There's places in the Bible where our salvation is discussed, being that of the new birth, being born again. But there's a lot of other kinds of salvation talked about in the Bible. Noah and his family were delivered with a great salvation and a great deliverance from an earthly flood. The children of Israel, when their backs were hemmed up against the Red Sea, and the most powerful army upon the face of the globe, the army of Egypt, was advancing upon them. If you understand the geography of that land, the children of Israel were hemmed in. There was no place to go according to man. But with God, all things are possible. And what's impossible with man is possible with God. We know that story well, that God Almighty told the children of Israel to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Was that going to be a salvation from hell to heaven? No. Was that going to be a salvation to take them from a death in trespasses and sins into a life in Christ? No. It was going to be a that day salvation. And that's what the Lord's going to call it later. He said, he's going to tell them after he saves Israel, God saved Israel that day from the hand of the Egyptians. Now, how did God do it? We all know the story. God opened up, God sent a wind. And that wind blew upon those waters, and it opened up a way for the children of Israel to pass through on dry land. It was a great and wondrous miracle. There was a salvation in there. Not an eternal salvation, but a that day salvation. The Apostle Peter, in talking about water baptism, would say, "Back where even baptism doth now save us." Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh. That means water baptism does not literally wash away our sins, but the answer of a good conscience toward God. Peter said there's a now salvation in baptism. It doesn't save you from hell to heaven. It doesn't take you from a state of death in trespasses and sins into a state of life in Christ, but there is a tremendous salvation, a timely deliverance, a salvation now and in time in being baptized. So there's different salvations mentioned in the Bible. It's important for us to understand that, or we're going to get very confused as we read the Word of God. So here's the Apostle Paul. His heart's desire, his prayer to God for Israel, is that they might be saved. As Brother Obey would say, from what? We keep reading, the Lord will tell us. He said, "For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God." They have a zeal of God because they're born again children of God. They have a zeal of God. They have in their heart to serve the Lord. They have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. What do they need to be saved from? A lack of knowledge. They need to be saved from an ignorance of what Jesus has done, and for them to embrace that. He said, "For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge." A dead alien sinner does not have a zeal of God. "For they being ignorant," again, what do they need to be saved from? A lack of knowledge. Ignorance. Now, ignorance does not mean that you're dumb or that you're stupid. The word ignorance simply means a lack of knowledge. There's a whole lot of things that I lack knowledge about. I don't understand rocket science. Doesn't mean I'm dumb in general. I may be, but the fact that I don't understand rocket science doesn't mean that I'm dumb. It simply means I have a lack of knowledge about rocket science. He said they've got a lack of knowledge about what the Lord Jesus has accomplished. "For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God." They're ignorant of God's righteousness, so they're going about to try to establish their own righteousness by their works. And that's wrong. What's right? For Christ. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. What were they not believing in? The finished work of our Jesus Christ. That Christ's death upon the cross of Calvary and now is what makes us righteous. His blood that washes away all of our sins. He said, "For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them." He's talking about under the law of service, there's things you had to do. You had to be obedient to that. The old law of service was all about doing. He's telling us here that your salvation in the Lord Jesus is not about what you do, but about what Christ did. "But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise." It's an old English way of saying after this manner. "But the righteousness of faith, which is of faith, speaketh on this wise, or after this manner, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Or who shall descend into the deep? That is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Now I want to go back for quickly for a moment to Deuteronomy chapter 30 to see where the Apostle Paul is quoting from. And we go back to Deuteronomy chapter 30, where Moses is speaking unto the children of Israel. And he's telling them this, verse 11, Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 11. For this commandment, which I command thee this day, is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven, that thou shouldest say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it. Neither is it beyond the sea, that thou shouldest say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it. He said, what you need's not somewhere far off. He said, what you need is right there with you. Then he goes on to say, as it does in Romans, but the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. You see, our old natural man wants to say, we're going to be saved for heaven based on something we do. We got to go somewhere way off, and there's something special we got to do, or on something we have to retrieve from somewhere far off for us to be saved for heaven. What does this say? Notice that there's some wording added in parentheses in verse 6 and verse 7 that Deuteronomy didn't say. And this is not the Apostle Paul misquoting Deuteronomy, but it's the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of God, adding commentary and helping explain what Moses said in Deuteronomy. What's in parentheses is that it's to bring Christ down from above. Verse 7 in parentheses, or that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. We couldn't bring Christ down from above, and we couldn't bring Christ up from the dead. That was the power of God. It was by the power of God that God the Father sent the Lord Jesus Christ from the very throne room of heaven to this low ground of sin and sorrow to suffer and bleed and die for me and for you. We couldn't do that. That wasn't by our works. That wasn't by our power. That was by the power of God and by the will of God. Could anybody bring up Christ from the dead? You know, those Jewish leaders that so hated Christ, they thought if we could just get him dead, we can just get him in the grave, we'll be done with it. He's trying to come in and take over our mastery in the religious world, and this is ours. He can't do it. But if we can just get him dead and in the grave, we'll be done with it. They even went to Pilate and said, we heard this deceiver say that after 3 days, he said, I will rise again. They do what typical deceivers do. Part of what they said was true. Was true, that Jesus had said, after 3 days, I'll rise again. But what was a great lie is they called Jesus a deceiver, which he was not. He's the truth incarnate. Jesus would say, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. He came to bear witness of the truth. He told Pilate that. Pilate reluctantly. They said, we need to set a watch. He's going to get his disciples to steal the body away. So he said, he set a watch. And a seal was put on the tomb of the Lord Jesus Christ, representing the power and the strength of Roman government. They put Roman soldiers there. So the very authority of the greatest worldly kingdom in the world at that time, the kingdom of Rome, that royal authority sealed the grave of the Lord Jesus. The most powerful military upon the face of the globe was there guarding the tomb of Jesus. But you know what happened on the third day? Just as Jesus said, on the third day, I will rise again. And he did. He rose again from the dead, not by the power of man. Man couldn't stop it. The most powerful kingdom upon the globe could not prevent Jesus from coming out of that grave. The most powerful army upon the face of the globe couldn't resist the very power of God that Jesus burst forth from the grave in power and in great glory. Man can't do that. Jesus did it. He died on the cross. He fought the greatest battle against sin, Satan, hell, and death, and he reigned victorious. He did that alone. He rose from the grave by the power of God. We didn't have anything to do with it, other than we're sweet beneficiaries of what Christ has done. So he's saying, quit thinking about your works as far as going to heaven. He said, what you need is not way off far from you. What you need is not something you've got to go to the distant places of the earth to get. But he tells him where it is. The word is nigh thee. That word nigh means near. How near is it? Even in thy mouth and in thy heart. Now that's pretty close, isn't it? If I've got something in my mouth, that's close. That's inside of me. If I've got something in my heart, that's close. Why did they have it in there? Because they were born again children of God. They had a seal of God. God, as Hebrews 8 has said, he said, a new commandment I'll write after those days. I'll put my laws into their mind and I'll write them in their hearts. And I shall be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. They shall not teach every man his neighbor or every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them. And their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. The Lord Jesus, all that he did for us when we were born again, that blessing of knowing who the Lord is was put in our heart. He said, they shall not teach every man his neighbor or every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest. You know, I can tell you all about Jesus today and try to preach all about it, but I can't teach you to know him. The only one that can do that is the Lord in the heart in regeneration. He's telling these Jews, you've got a zeal of God. What you need is in your mouth. It's in your heart. But you need to confess it and believe it. So here's born again children of God. They didn't need the salvation of being born again from the death and trespasses and sins. But they needed a salvation, a timely deliverance, based on them hearing and believing and obeying the gospel, the good news of what Jesus had done. He said, for if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. Shalt believe in thy heart, God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Again, this is not a prescription for being born again. They've already got this in their mouth. They've already got it in their heart, but they need to confess it. They need to believe it outwardly, and they need to obey it. That's a salvation that's in the gospel. Doesn't save us from hell to heaven, but there's a great deliverance, a great blessing, a great assurance. We sang that song, blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. How do we have that assurance? Because we've heard the good news of our salvation and we believed it. We can rejoice saying, Jesus died for me. I've heard the good news. Because of what he has done, heaven and a moment of glory shall be my home. You know that changes every day of our life, then. We don't know what the future holds. I saw Judge Barber just last week. He was in good spirits. He was happy. He was feeling good. If you'd have told me in a week he would be have passed away, I wouldn't believe it. We never know how long we're going to be upon this earth. But what a tremendous difference it makes every day to know and understand because of what Jesus done. If I breathe my last breath today, I'll be with him in heaven and immortal glory. For us to know that difference, if one of our loved ones who loves the Lord in our heart breathes their last breath today, we know in a moment, in an instant, as soon as they breathe their last breath, they'll immediately be in the precious arms of our Lord, our Savior, our Master, and our Redeemer. That makes every single day we live upon this life way different. We didn't have that hope and that assurance, that great salvation we have in knowing and believing what Jesus has done for us. He said, for with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture said, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Now, I'm going to tell you, if we're believing on him, we'll never be ashamed. We're believing on him, he will never let us down, ever. But if we're believing on ourselves, I let myself down a lot. And I let others down a lot. Remember something my daddy told me? He had been in law enforcement for many years. And he said, son, you need to be careful who your heroes are. Because he said, every hero I ever had let me down. You know, that's the reality of man. If our hero's a politician, they're going to let you down. If our hero's a judge in the judicial system, man will let you down. If our hero is a gospel minister, he's a sinner, he's a man, he's going to let you down. Man always will let us down in some form or fashion. We'll let ourselves down. We're trusting on him. He'll never let us down. Whosoever believeth on him, that is on the Lord Jesus Christ, shall not be ashamed. He will never let us down. For there is no difference, and I'm going to go through a few of these verses and then move on to the book. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Again, that's a salvation in the gospel, not a salvation to get born again, but a salvation in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, where the Lord gives us that sweet deliverance in the good news of him. We can have that blessed assurance in believing what he has done for us. Said, how shall they call on him whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace, that bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. This is not the faith given in regeneration, but it's a faith that comes when we hear and believe the gospel. It's a full gospel faith. And while we as old Baptists don't believe that the gospel borns us again, we should never think that the gospel is not important. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believe it, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. There's a great lesson. And y'all have heard me say even recently, the story of the World War II soldier, where it meant so much to him that though the war had already been won, though the United States and their allies were victorious, this old American soldier in the foxhole didn't know it. He's waiting on the next bomb to blast over his head. He's waiting on the next barrage of military gunfire from the enemy to come at him. You see, the war's been won, but he doesn't know it. What a great blessing when he hears the good news from a fellow American soldier that pulls him out of the foxhole. Said, you don't have to be afraid of me. The battle's been won. The victory's been won. That made a tremendous difference to that American soldier. It didn't change the reality. The victory had already been won. And a little child of God that's never heard the gospel, the victory the Lord Jesus has won, has already been won. But they, if we don't know it, we've not heard the gospel, we don't have that peace and that assurance and the good news of what our Christ has done for us. What a blessing that is. Let's go to Matthew chapter 13 and we'll be here, Lord being our helper, for the remainder of the time. The Lord Jesus here is going to tell a parable about the preaching of the gospel. Going to pick up in verse 3 for the sake of time. Said, and he, that is the Lord Jesus, spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. When he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, which had not much earth. Forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. When the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground, brought forth fruit, some an hundredfold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear? Let him hear. Now, I'll remind everyone and myself of something I said the other day. Somebody doesn't have spiritual ears, if they're not been born again, they can't hear spiritual things. A dead alien sinner does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. He has no spiritual ears. But listen to what Jesus said closely. He who has ears to hear. He's saying, if you got spiritual ears to hear, let him hear. Now, what does that tell me? That tells us that even born again children of God that have spiritual ears to hear need to listen. Means we can be distracted and the message of the gospel not be received. He who has ears to hear, Jesus said, let him hear. That means we can't be passive listeners. Now, in the effectual call, we're passive listeners. When the Holy Spirit, we're dead in trespasses and sin, comes to us, gives us life, we're totally passive. We're a passive listener. But not in the hearing of the gospel. We need to be an active listener. Now let's look and examine, and I want to compare what Jesus says in this parable with what he explains beginning in verse 18. And I believe, I'll say at the outset, I believe any of us can be any of these grounds at any given time. And we need to take heed to the earlier grounds that don't produce fruit, that we don't do what the Lord describes in those grounds. Jesus said in verse 3, our sower went forth to sow. When he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. You look in verse 18, he said, hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. The Lord's going to explain this to his disciples. They asked him, why do you speak to the multitudes in parables? And he said, because it's not given unto them to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. But he said, to you it is given. Then he says this, and this is a beautiful verse in verse 13. For the people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. So in hearing and understanding and believing the gospel, there is a healing that takes place. There is a healing that comes in the proclamation and in the believing and understanding of the gospel. He said, blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them. He tells those disciples, Moses and Elijah and Daniel and Joshua and so many of those Old Testament prophets, they desired to see and to hear the things which ye see and hear, but they weren't blessed to hear them. But he said, you're blessed to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. That wasn't just the disciples, little child of God, it's us today. We've been blessed to know things and to have a clarity of what Jesus has done that Moses and Joshua and others in the Old Testament didn't have. That's a great blessing to us. And we should thank God every single day for all he's blessed us to see and to hear. And I understand there's a healing in that. We ought to thank God that he's given us that much knowledge and blessed us with that. Verse 19, hear ye for the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom. So he explains what the sower and the sowing is. The sower is the preacher. The seed is the word of the kingdom. Here's the preacher scattering the seed. The first ground they come to is a ground by the wayside. Now, the wayside is the part of the ground that is just right off the main path, but there's been enough foot traffic over it. It's hard. So a seed falls on it, doesn't go into the ground, it just lays on the top. Now, what's going to happen to seed laying on the top of the ground? Birds are going to come and take it off. Remember one time a judge told me that he had been invited to go dove hunting. And he gets there. And as soon as the guy that organized the hunt found out he was a federal judge, he instantly looked shocked and scared. Judge said, next thing I know, all of them are over on this field. And he said, I'm on some field way away. And all I hear is boom, 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 boom. He said, everybody's shooting doves on that other field. But he said, I don't even hardly see anything. And I said, well, Judge, you were glad you were on the field you were on, wasn't you? He said, yeah, I was. And the story is that other field was likely barren. That means there's just seed just laying all on the ground. Well, what happens when that happens? Birds come and take it up. We're running out of time, but if you look in Genesis chapter 15, there's a special time when God Almighty is revealing some special things to Abraham. Abraham saying, I don't have any children, and a servant in my house is going to be my heir. And the Lord tells him, he said, no, Abraham, you're going to have a son. And he said, your descendants are going to be as the stars of the sky and as the sand of the sea. There's actually a great miracle that happens in that chapter that Elder Mike Montgomery preached one time, and I had never heard this before, but it was a special blessing. He said, he actually tells Abraham in that chapter, he said, look now toward the sky and count the stars. When he told Abraham to do that, it was still daylight. Because later in the chapter, it talks about the sun going down. So the Lord actually produced a miracle. So Abram could see the stars in the daytime to reveal a precious promise unto him that your descendants are going to be as the stars of the heaven. Kind of reminds me of what the Lord does when he gives us the miracle of the gospel preached in power. And we're blessed to see the good things of God because of the miracle the Lord's done. But the Lord tells Abram's like, how do I know you're going to really give me this land? So he tells him to go take some animals and divide them up in pieces. The way they would make covenants in those days would be if you divide up the pieces, and there's a piece over here and there's a piece over there, and two people that were entering into a covenant would walk through the pieces of those animals. And they would be saying by that, if I break my promise, I'm going to be like one of these dead animals that has been split in two. The amazing thing that happened in this covenant was only God walked through the pieces. Abram did not, because God was making an unconditional covenant with Abraham that he would bless Abraham and his descendants. All the world would be blessed. And in that promise comes Abraham's seed, who is the Lord Jesus Christ. So there's great blessings in that. But right before Abram goes to sleep and before the sun sets, the Bible tells us an important fact. A bunch of birds come, and they're trying to get up the carcasses of these animals. Well, the Lord's fixing to give Abraham a beautiful message, but these birds are trying to mess it up. These birds are coming down trying to get the animals. So what does Abraham do? The Bible says he drives them away. He drives them away. I want to tell you, little child of God, when the gospel is being preached, look at what it says as Jesus explains this parable. We may only get to this first one because we're running out of time. He said, anyone that heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not. Here's somebody that's heard the word, but they don't understand it. Then cometh the wicked one. So those birds that the Lord Jesus talked about that snatched up the seed, he tells you who those birds really are. He says they're Satan. They're the wicked one. And they catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. Again, you got a born-again child of God who's heard the gospel. They didn't understand it, but it's been sown in their heart. But they don't understand it, and Satan comes and catches it out of their heart. He said, that's the seed received by the wayside. We need, when we hear the gospel, to do our best to understand it. That's where we're listening to gospel preaching. That's where we're reading the word of God. How many times have I read the word of God and I've been like, well, I know I need to read my Bible today. And so I start reading it. Then I start thinking about this thing that happened or that thing that happened. And then all of a sudden I'm a page or two later And I'm like, I don't know what I just read. Have any of y'all ever been there? We ever been that when the gospel sermon is being preached? Maybe I say something, you're like, whoa, what did he say? I missed the last 5 minutes. Satan can take what was preached. We're born again child of God. We had a heart to receive. Remember what it said in Romans chapter 10? He said, the word is nigh thee. It's in your mouth. It's in your heart. And Paul said, this is the word of faith which we preach. So the true word of faith agrees with what's in our heart. The true word of faith in the preaching of the gospel is preached to the heart of faith. Romans 1 would say, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, from the faithfulness and the proclamation of the gospel to the faith that's in the heart of a born-again child of God. And the righteousness of God is revealed in that. But the Lord, Satan, if we don't understand, and we should pray, Lord, when I listen to preaching, Lord, help me understand it. Lord, when I'm reading your word, bless me with understanding. Because if we don't understand, then Satan can catch it out of our hearts. Be like one of those birds plucking up the seed. Remember what it said a couple of verses earlier, should understand with their hearts should be converted, that I should heal them. No understanding, the healing proponent of the gospel doesn't happen. I'm going to cover one more verse and then we'll close. But he said, but he that received the seed in the stony places, the same as he that heareth the word and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a little while, for when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. Now he talks about a ground that's sown in stony places and it may quickly come up. And he said, this little child of God hears the word and instantly, that word of nine means immediately, receives it with joy. He said he doesn't have a root in himself. Now roots stabilize things, trees. And for us to have roots, we've got to dig deep into the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've got to be in prayer. We need to be in the word of God every day, seeking to understand the truth so that our roots will go deep. Right after Hurricane Zeta hit, I was helping one of our officers down in Gulfport. He had lost a huge oak. It was big. Big oak. And Zeta had just blown it down. And the root ball on that thing was extremely wide. It was huge around, but it didn't go deep. And Zeta blew that tree over. Now, there were little bushes in his yard that didn't get blown over. But here's this big tree that's big on the top side of the soil, but very little going down. And I thought when I looked at that, I said, there's a lesson in that. Because sometimes I can get too big for my britches. Sometimes I can get too big in myself. I need to be less big in myself. I need to be more humble, more abased. The Lord Jesus would say, he that exalted himself shall be humble. He that humbleth himself shall be exalted. I need to be more humble and for my roots to be going more down than I am going up. Those little bushes had stronger root system for the size of the bush than that big old oak tree had. He said the stony places, he said they just didn't have the root. So when persecution came, when tribulation came, by and by, he is offended. The word comes from the Greek word scandalizo. That's where we get our English word scandalize from. So when persecution or tribulation comes, the tree blows down.
The lesson is for our roots to be deep, for us to spend as much time as we can with the Lord in fellowship in his house and hearing the preaching of the gospel and praying and in reading the word of God, not just to read it, but to understand it. You know, as I was with our fellow officer, he was cutting down that tree, and there was a huge hole in the ground from where the root ball that was so wide had been. So he starts cutting down on the tree. And as the top of the tree got smaller and smaller, I was over there putting some logs into a big pile. And I kind of saw something out of the corner of my eye. It just looked like, boom, like that. And I was like, what happened? Well, what happened was he cut enough of the top of the tree off that the root ball was heavier than the tree. It went right back into the hole it came out of. And I was like, there's a lesson in that. If Brother Mark wants to be more rooted, it needs to be more about what Brother Mark's rooted in than it is about Brother Mark. Again, humility. Looking to the Lord for everything. Looking to his truth. Looking to be obedient to what he has asked us to do instead of being distracted by ourselves or the things of the world. A lot more can be said about this. He goes on the ground that produces fruit. Some 60-fold, some 30-fold, some 100-fold. I want to tell you, when we're able to hear the gospel and understand the gospel and believe the gospel, it is a tremendous blessing to us, but it's also a tremendous blessing to our brethren and sisters. You know how blessed I've been to be able to see your fruit and to actually be able to eat of your fruit in your spiritual life? It's a blessing. When I communicate with somebody and I've heard that their mind has been on the scripture, their mind's been on a certain person to ask for prayer, it's a blessing to me because I see the fruit of that life, fruit in your life that's been produced by the Lord and by the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's a tremendous blessing to me. But you know, it also pleases the Lord. The Song of Solomon, the bride would say, let him come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruits. At the end of the day, what a blessing it is for us to be blessed by each other's fruit in the kingdom of God. But an even greater blessing is if the Lord's pleased. He's pleased with our fruit. What a great blessing that is. May we be attentive to the gospel. May I be attentive and trying to preach it and listen to it as much as I can in gospel meetings. May we understand it and obey it and bring our forth fruit unto the Lord. May God hear some blessings.